Okay, here we are. Here we are. Shall we get here kind of just energetically? Yeah, lots of stuff going on right now for everybody. So yeah, let's dive in. So just feel your feet on the floor where you are. Notice that you are supported by the whole earth. And just bring your attention to your feet on the floor. And allow your attention to just wander up your body. Just notice your seat. Holding you. You can soften into it. And just breathe. Whew, you're here. You're giving yourself this gift of some time for you. Best investment you could make. Just let your attention wander up your spine. This beautiful piece of architecture that keeps you upright, keeps you in the world. Let your attention wander to your shoulders. You may want to roll them a little. It's where your wings are hidden. It's why they can sometimes ache a lot. And allow your shoulders to just slump a little, soften. Let your attention go into your neck, the back of your head. Just do some little stretches. That feels good to you. Over the top of your head and come back down your face. What we see of you, how we recognize you. And just let your jaw soften. And come down into your throat, into your chest. Ah. Sometimes I think the best way to end a meditation like this is to scream out loud, just release everything that's in that heart voice area. But maybe you just want to open your mouth really wide and stretch your jaw. Oh. Yeah, it can be quite nice to do that. Yeah. And just come into your heart and just notice all the things you've had to do to get here right now. What choices you've made. And just give yourself a little thank you for letting yourself have this time for you. However it unfolds over the next hour. So when you're ready, just give your toes a little wiggle. Come back to the room. Oh, you're here. Good. Good. The screaming idea, I've actually read articles that women gathered on beaches during COVID and just screamed at the sea. Like it was like a screech on the beach was a big thing in Australia for a while there. I find that so brilliant. And I'm like, what? Why didn't we think of that? We could have done that. It can be a really cathartic thing to do, to just do a big old sobby cry scream into a pillow, into the sea, into the world. Yeah. So welcome to our coaching call. If you have something that you want to bring, then please just put your name in the chat or just let me know. Tanya, it's so nice to see you. Really cool, really welcome. Bravo for being here. I know it's a tricky old time. It's such a thing that I wrestle with is, you know, when to do these calls, because it's never going to be perfect for anyone. And I get lots of people saying, oh, I listened to the call and I loved what Mary said, or I loved what Olivia said, and, you know, things like that. And it's just like, oh, that's really cool that people do watch the recordings, and, you know, you are kind of representing for everybody. And this time of day, I know I feel just in my most kind of energetically good and sound, and I know I can kind of rock up with my best presence. So my hope is that translates somehow out there into the ether. But really glad you could make it, Tanya. It's nice to see you. So anyone got anything they want to bring? I've got a couple of things I thought I would share, but... And Sharon's here. Amazing. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I love it. Sharon, we just did a small visualization just to kind of get here. That's all you've missed. So you're all good. Anyone got anything that they want to bring? Just put that in the chat. I have a couple of things I wanted to share, and maybe some themes will emerge from that. But yeah, we've got time. So one of the things I wanted to raise, and this is really with loving thanks to Mary, who emailed me last week, I think, talking about endings and how we feel about endings, and knowing that we are coming up to an ending, right? In September, I will be changing how I do self-belief school, and we'll be closing this time that we meet. And I just wanted to like start that conversation. It's a couple of months away, we've got time. But one of the things I know to be true, and this has certainly been true for me throughout my adult life and probably further back, is that endings have always felt like it's only ended because something went wrong. Endings feel like there's always something difficult about endings. I think I've only ever had endings up until maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I'd only ever had endings that were kind of heartbreaking, either losses of some sort or a sense of shock that something had ended and it hadn't recognized that was possible to happen. So we're going to do this here in a really considered way. And I want to give you the opportunity to have a good ending, right? To just model that for yourself. We're consciously uncoupling, if you'll pardon the expression. but in a way that is, that honors just the feelings that might be here for everybody. So I'm really wanting to let that theme of an ending and it being a good ending. I just want to plant that seed, and we can talk about that if we go, as we go. And Olivia, it looks like you've got something, and cool. And Kate as well. Yep. That's cool. All good. Okay, cool. So let's start with the stuff that's coming in, and then we can maybe look at what comes up from that. So, yeah, Olivia, oh my goodness, your new professor, very aggressive, demeaning, everything is challenging around this, feeling it in your guts, super toxic person, love that, yeah. Yeah. Say more.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm taking these grad classes, really looking forward to them. And, you know, it's a bunch of social workers and people that help other people in their mental health. So I've just been thrown for a loop at how, so she's just one of those people that will flip flop and change what they're saying really quickly. And she, did a thing where the discussion board that was due disappeared, 24 hours before it was due because of a date she put on it. And she started yelling at the class of graduate students that, well, we should have been working on it sooner. Anyways, and so this really high level of dysfunction was really unexpected. And she, just really aggressively wants people to speak up. And then she ridicules you in front of the class for speaking up. And I'm like, wow, what do I do in this situation? It's all over Zoom and she's, you know, gets her digs in over the 3-hour class. And yeah, we have, I definitely wasn't the only person feeling that something was very amiss, but I'd say 3/4 of the class are in their 20s and started fawning, started really like, this is good. I was like, oh my God, this is so dysfunctional. And I don't know. I almost feel a greater rawness and vulnerability, I think, now that my protector is kind of taking more of a back seat and my healthy adult is very present. I was wearing my smartwatch. My heart rate was 106. And then I started actually getting the chills in like a 70 degree room because my body was having an actual reaction to her. So just I guess thoughts and tips that I don't know if Sass, you think this is the case, but as the protector cycles back, feel less protected and a little bit more out there, and it's, you know, it's something to breathe through, and ultimately I'm safe. Whatever grade she gives me doesn't matter. I can choose whether to push back or not. I can choose whether to, you know, speak with people in the department or not. You know, she's clearly violating some stuff in the syllabus, but it's more a personality thing at this point. But I'm just like, wow, I'm really feeling this weird person, this kind of stranger. There's only been these two classes, although that is 6 hours of her and several more weeks to come. So yeah, I just kind of wanted to put that out there. And I didn't sleep at all last night. So even did like up all night, kind of scrolling on the phone, just having a hard time processing this new feeling of exposure to toxic people. I don't know.
I just want to like really affirm how you are holding this situation, right? Like you have just offered us a kind of masterclass in your healthy adult self leading, in that you are witnessing the experience. You haven't at any time judged her or made her wrong, made yourself wrong, made the class wrong. It's like you're observing this in a really healthy way. And that's tricky to do because it sounds like she was, in the truest sense of the word, quite triggering. And what you're describing of, you know, other classmates who are tending to fawn, and it sounds like you went into sort of flight fight type mode with that big heart rate. Yeah. So.
Yeah, at least my body wanted to, or was kind of ramping up to, and I was like.
Yeah.
Trying to say very little, not out of fear, but just out of how do I want to. I don't want to match her. I don't want to be a part of this, the thing she's putting out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, completely. What I also noticed is you kind of offered what happened, and then you, once that had kind of had some space, you offered yourself some potential ways you can manage this. You can, you know, talk to the department, you can raise it separately, you know, all these very healthy responses to say, hey, look, this does not feel right. And because you're already in a quite a healthy adult place, right? It's not about this is unacceptable, right? Which would be an understandable, if slightly less helpful and less healthy way of managing that. So when it comes to people who have very, very little emotional maturity, right, is how I would describe that. When someone is projecting outbursts all over the place, particularly in a professional context, it's like, wow, okay, so you're showing us who you are, and that's someone who doesn't really have a good handle on your emotions. I mean, the irony that you are in a therapy graduate class is not lost on me. And I just want to share like some of the most toxic, arguably slash dangerous humans I've met have been in the therapy coaching education world, who I just think, why are you allowed to be here? Yeah. Like,
can I just say for everyone's benefit, this is a class in psychopathology.
Brilliant.
Yes. My gosh. Yeah.
Like the universe is having fun with you right now. Yeah. So what I would offer is whenever we are kind of activated, triggered, feel really like what is happening with another person's behavior, it's always an invitation to come back to how do you want to protect yourself from your healthy adult self rather than your protector. Right. So exactly what you said, Yvette, how do I protect myself? Because it feels a little exposing when you don't have those kind of old patterns no longer really fit, the old ways of, you know, helping yourself to kind of stay safe, when they no longer feel okay, then this is an invitation to lean into how can you protect yourself from your healthy adult self. This is almost always going to involve some kind of boundary. Almost always. And remember, boundaries are nothing to do with any other person. It's like when you do this and you do whatever you fancy because you're an adult, however you behave, when you do that, I'm going to do this to take care of myself. Right? And it can be a real... it can be a rich environment for your own self-concept expanding, right? Letting yourself be disappointed by that person, you know, letting them have their emotional immaturity and not feeling like that has to be anything that you need to either fix, that, because that is a delusion, or that you need to kind of run away, or all of that stuff, right? All those old patterns of those kinds of 6P behaviors that you might have engaged in before. It's like, oh no, actually, I can just sit here in my healthy adult self, let that person have that, and I'm going to take care of myself in whatever way feels good to me. And I'm curious about how that lands for you, and also maybe what other ways that you can take care of yourself.
I have one friend in the class, and we were texting via our telephone, so not part of the Zoom, via our telephones. And you know, we're the oldest people in the class, and we're both like, okay, do we drop the class? What's the class we can switch into? Oops, the date has passed. These are the consequences of dropping. So I was like, oh, thank goodness for this person, because we're both like, whoo, this is a bit much. And yes, what are our alternatives? So that felt good. But I'm sorry, I'm like a little, I haven't slept all night. So you asked what else I could do, and you had another question.
And I just want to offer as well, because you haven't slept yet, that you may just go, I don't know, brain is farting right now. I don't know.
I guess
that's the key, right? Is to sit with how do I want to show up?
Yeah, and I guess it's I'm a little saddened and embarrassed that this is such a, like, why am I having such a strong reaction to someone that it doesn't, you know, so what? So just noticing that, like, wow, this is an intense, strong reaction. It probably has to do with people in authority being really erratic and unkind and manipulative. And so fun, I can lean into that. But that's, I mean, that's kind of the work, right?
Does she remind you of anyone in your life?
Yeah. She reminds me of family members that I've gotten no contact with.
Yeah.
So this is someone that really doesn't have much authority over my life.
Right.
And I don't need to go no contact with, but I need to have a strategy for a certain amount of weeks. But I'd rather just never be around people like this, but that's not really realistic in the world.
And I guess that's the thing to recognize, right, is that what might you learn about yourself mm-hmm. by maintaining your presence in this class? Which is the sticky bit, right? The inconvenient stuff. But actually, my sense is that you've already shown yourself that you can see this for what it is. You're not making it mean anything about you or your capability. And so by staying in this class, by coming up with, you know, some ways you want to take care of yourself, you actually get to develop some resilience should you ever need it. It's like, oh, I've met this character before, I know how to take care of myself.
That's the ticket.
Because we don't want to get to the place where we need the whole world to be nice to us and kind to us and use the same language as us and respect all of our values and everything, because that world is a fantasy, right? I'm much more interested in you developing a healthy adult self that can just be, you know, be okay in the reality of the world, which is some people are deeply wounded and they're in positions of authority. Other people are kind of behave like assholes and we don't know why, but we don't want to have to go put our energy into fixing them, right? We want to put our energy into how can I, you know, keep my tree trunk nice and rooted, even when they're in the room.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah. I feel so tender in a new spot with this.
Yeah.
Which is good, but it's like, I feel much more present to it too. Yeah.
I honestly just bravo. Because I know when we first met, that kind of person would have had a totally different response to. And look at you shining in your healthy adult self. And I hope that doesn't sound in any way patronizing. It is totally meant to celebrate you. Yeah.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I just think other people, that's where the horrors are, and it's also really where the juicy learning can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that help you, Livette?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, thank goodness that I'm like, I don't care if I've slept all night. I'm still getting up at 6 a.m., which is what it is for me. Well worth it.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad to be your morning call. Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant. Thank you so much, Livette. It's so good. And, you know, the thing about boundaries is, you know, it's not a boundary if you're requiring someone else to change, or if someone else is saying, I need you to respect my boundaries, I need you to do this. Right, that's not a boundary. That's an ultimatum. That's a request, maybe. And it may or may not be something that you're prepared to do or the other person's prepared to do. But the part of a boundary is, oh no, there's something about this that just doesn't feel right, right? So when we looked at this in self-belief school, we talked about this metaphor of the warrior garden, right? That you have a fence around your field, right? And you get to decide what's okay and what's not okay. If you find that, oh my God, I'm dealing with all of this stuff that isn't okay and it's other people, it's probably time to have a little look at your fences, right? Like, what could you do? And even just one small thing will make this real for you, is what can you do to just decide, I'm gonna put a boundary around this. When someone behaves like this, I'm going to do this. Or sometimes we can preempt it, right? So, and people, if you own a business or if you are in any kind of situation where you have some autonomy over things, you can sometimes go, oh, if people are going to decide to do this, this is what my policy is on that. And I'll communicate that first. So then it's nice and simple for people to understand that, and easier to re-communicate if you need to. But yeah, I think that's the most important thing with boundaries to recognize is it a request? Is it an ultimatum? Or is it a boundary? And you get a feel for it, you know? But yeah, something to think about. Cool. Boundaries is like, yeah, it's tricky stuff for most of us, you know? And even when we're okay with some boundaries, there'll be others that like send us into, you know, breaking out in hives. That's completely a normal response. And the reason that we find boundaries so tricky is we perceive that there will be a loss, right? There will be a loss. If I take care of myself in this way, so I will lose something. I have to therefore take care of you first, right? So notice that when we don't have boundaries, we sacrifice our own needs to take care of the other person. And so what we can interpret is, well, if I put a boundary in place, I'm sacrificing the relationship with the other person. Either way, someone loses. It may as well be me, because at least I know how to handle that. And then I get to keep the relationships, even though they're shit, right? Even though they're not working. There's parts of this that doesn't feel great, right? So just notice it's this very sophisticated little story of all or nothing thinking that our protectors are sending us, right? Any requirement that we place on other people has a risk of loss. And that is to an extent true. And so we get to decide, well, is the risk worth it? And what even is the relationship if when you make a reasonable boundary in place, what you feel is reasonable, and you can always check in, is am I the asshole here? You know, that you get to you lose that person. It's like, well, interesting. What was that relationship actually built on? You know, even if there is also sadness and, you know, discomfort present, there could also be relief. There could also be a little surprise, maybe some disappointment. I know for myself, particularly with friends, that friendships that have ended, and I've just been super surprised by someone's response to something that I found really reasonable. And it's like, wow, what even was that I thought we had? You may also notice this, and I know I certainly have, and lots of clients have said this to me. As you expand your self-concept, as you've signed up for some growth and expansion, you may actually find people in your life, it's kind of tricky to be around still, right? There may be people that you think, oh man, you just live from your protector. And I can see that. And that's really tricky to be around because I'm no longer doing that. And so, you know, sometimes we do evolve, and that means that some people can't come with us, or it's really hard for that relationship to be sustained because something of that sense of equity and trust and mutual appreciation sort of gets eroded. And I think that's one thing that's really evident when you find yourself in a situation like you're describing, Livia. It's like, this person is not safe to be around, right? And sometimes that can be a person that you can kind of manage the relationship with, and it sounds like you're getting some opportunity to do that, Livia, in this particular case. But maybe you've discovered that that's actually someone who's relatively close to you. You know, there's something off now about this person. I can no longer see, you know, what I saw in the past. So just notice that. That's quite an understandable and common occurrence. Okay. Anyone else got anything they want to share today? We are open for celebrations, queries, questions, asking for help, anything. The floor is yours. And, you know, especially Tanya and Sharon, you're joining us today. Is there anything you wanted to bring? Yeah, Sharon.
Yeah, I just want to say, when you, great to be here. And when you were talking about endings before, I was like, yeah, well, I've only just like started. I mean, like Sod's Law, obviously, when I joined the program, then I happened the accident and haven't been able to be here for pretty much the whole of the time. But I just wanted everyone to know, when I was talking to Sass the other day, and I was saying that I have watched most of the recordings. I do feel like I know you all, and quite a lot of it like really kept me going throughout my darkest of times in the last few months. So thank you. But I am really frustrated when you said we're ending. It's like, no, we're not. We're just starting.
We have a couple of months, so we're good.
I know. Yeah, I know. But yeah, so it's really nice to be here. And yeah, I was able to, you know, to be here this morning, which is great. So yeah, lovely to see all your faces. And it's, I was saying to Sass that, you know, what a lovely group this is. And it's been brilliant to see everybody's kind of journeys and everybody growing over the last few months. And yeah, you know, fantastic. Really, really good.
So glad you're here, Sharon. That's really cool. Did you have anything you wanted to bring to the table?
Really, just as you were talking about boundaries, I was thinking, oh, this sounds very familiar. And I did have to laugh about, I was talking to, you like this, Sass, I was talking to somebody, one of my local leaders, she was kind of thinking about joining the mastermind, and then she was like saying, oh, you know, but I really need it, Sharon, I really need it, but I've got all this money, and my ex-husband's taking me to court, and I don't think, and I couldn't afford it. And then I was like, okay, what do you think you can afford? And she looked at me and went, Sharon, I'm not going to allow you here to overgive to me. She said, the price is the price. And if I can't afford it, that's my problem. So don't even go there. And I thought, my God, she sussed me, hasn't she?
Very cool.
That made you laugh.
When your clients are telling you off over good, there is something in there.
It's really bad, isn't it?
Brilliant.
Yeah, that was just an observation. An observation, I think, about how I still find this stuff, and I don't know about everybody else. It's just so hard, isn't it? Your natural tendency is to want to help and overgive. And even though your logical brain goes, I mustn't do that, it's really hard to kind of stop it, isn't it?
It is if you believe it is.
True.
Right? So Sorry, I guess that would be my one thing to say is, if you start off by saying, oh, this is going to be really hard, that's the kind of belief that's going to drive it. So you're going to prove that to be true, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever you do. Because remember, like, what we believe about something, that, you know, when you believe something is going to be hard, the emotions that creates are often a little bit of like exhaustion, sometimes some, you know, anxiety about it. And then we take action based on how we feel. Like if we just break it down a bit slowly, right? So if you're taking action from a place of feeling, you know, a bit fatigued and anxious, then the outcome is going to be something that feels hard, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you could say, oh, I'm learning how to do this.
Yeah.
Like just as another way of looking at it. In the past I found this difficult. Now I'm learning how to do this. And, you know, some other ways to think about boundaries. For me, this is key to mutual respect. I'm going to respect myself, like my time, my energy, my resources, and I'm going to respect yours. I'm not going to require you to change, but when that happens, this is how I'm going to take care of myself. And it can shift energy in relationship dynamics very quickly. So starting from that place of, oh, I'm learning how to bring mutual respect into this dynamic is a great belief to hold, because then it's like, you know, the feelings that conjures are going to be different. The actions that you take are going to be different. So the outcome will be different. I think one of the things I wanted to do before we close is maybe do a little bit of a longer class on beliefs and the belief buster. Because I think that can be a really key way of, you know, sitting in how do we make sense of our world? You know, what are those kind of sometimes quite unconscious beliefs that we just live by? And because we've never questioned them, we think we're reporting the news, right? It's just a fact, right? I'm a person who doesn't set boundaries. I'm someone who doesn't finish things. I'm a procrastinator. It's like, oh, that's just me. When actually what that says to me is, oh, that's ways you've learned to keep yourself safe. Makes total sense. But it's not your blood, it's not like your blood type, right? It's not fixed. It can change. And the way to change it is to start practicing believing things that you already believe, but in a more conscious way. Right. So that's the key to those new beliefs, the healthier beliefs. You have to already believe them. Otherwise, it's like you just see the gap between what you want to believe but don't and what your reality is. I think that was quite a big, like, shift for me. Felt like a sort of veil had been lifted of recognizing that it doesn't actually matter what I do. If I do different things, but I still believe the same things, then the outcome will be the same. And just to give you an example of this, and I've talked about this in past calls around, I've always been in a bigger body. I'm really focusing on my health right now, and that's resulting in more strength, weight loss, just general taking care of myself in a really healthy way. And I am doing the same things I've always done. I'm going to the gym regularly. I've got a trainer. I'm, you know, eating healthily, blah, blah, blah. But I'm doing those things, and I've done those things many times over. The key to this, and the reason why I now am starting to believe 5 months in that this is a permanent shift, is I believe completely different things about myself. Right. So, and this is the thing to note, is that what we do can come from a place that's protector led or healthy adult self led, and it will look the same to the world. Right. So you could be lying on the sofa watching Netflix with a giant bag of Doritos. From a protector perspective, if it's protector-led behavior, if it's avoiding something, it could be quite passive behaviors, right? If it's, oh my Lord, I am celebrating, you know, something that I've done. This is like rest. I'm so happy to be here. I feel really good. I've been looking forward to these Doritos and oh my God, a whole series of the Kardashians, don't judge me. It's like, this is paradise. That is a healthy adult self response, right? It looks the same to the outside world, but you know how it feels. You know that it feels differently. And that's because you're believing there's something different about it. So we love to, our world is pretty behaviorally focused, right? It's all about change your behavior and, you know, all of this. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's one way to do it. And you may change what you believe as a result of that. But a way to make this behavior shift even easier is to practice new beliefs, healthier beliefs. And when you start from there, it's like, oh, I want to do this new behavior because that really supports and gives me evidence for this healthy belief that feels really good to me. So maybe we will do it. We'll do an extra thing on belief. And I do also want to let you know that we will be doing one on body image and self-belief. And I'm just trying to nail down Philippa, who's going to be joining me to do that. We will do that. And we'll have one each month for the remaining time. So look out for those. Anyone else got anything that they're bringing today? Special invite to Tanya if you want to share anything at all. And no, please don't feel any pressure, but I just want to invite you since you've made the time to be here.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, it's actually making the effort to show up today. I think from the call the other week, I think it was Sheena talking about showing up and, what she said just really resonated because I think I'd been finding excuses. I would watch the replay, but it was like, yeah, okay, I'm going to make the effort to show up and be there. And that's what I'm doing. So
amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Does it feel good to be here?
It does, yeah. I always enjoy the calls, but yeah, it's...
Yeah, it's so great. I mean, this is the thing, right? I know myself, I've signed up to classes and then not gone to anything because it's like, oh, they've already been going for a couple of weeks. They probably will know each other, like each other. I'll be like the weird person that's rocked up at the end and what, yeah. You know, I won't belong, right? Because I've got my own old beliefs around that kind of stuff, you know, fitting in with groups and things. And I've learned over the years, it's actually okay. It's really okay just to rock up. Like, you already belong because you're here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good. And I guess one question I have for you, Tanya, and please feel free to say, I want to go and think about that rather than answer it here because I realize I'm putting you on the spot. But I wonder, like, what do you think has changed for you just as you've been watching these calls and the replays and maybe doing some of the exercises or watching the videos? Like, what's changing for you, do you notice?
I think it's having that moment where you stop, like, and actually observe those behaviors and question it. And yeah, you start going off on a tangent and then it's like, oh, hang on, actually, like, I had some stuff happen at work the other day and I realized I started going off on this tangent of, you know, it was bad and like And then I was like, hang on. Okay, so I'm feeling disappointed. Like, I had actually just watched the emotion cycle video the night before again. And so I was like, okay, so what are these emotions? What is that telling me? And just tried to stop and dig into it and feel my feelings, because I feel like I haven't been doing that. So yeah, I think it's just, yeah, thinking about it and actually stopping that and sort of interrupting those behaviors has made a big difference.
I love that you did that. I wonder, did you get a message from your emotion as well, that sensation of the emotion?
Yeah, so I was trying to, because I think that's the other thing, I'm so in my head, and so it was like, how am I feeling this? So, you know, I felt embarrassed, and so it's like, oh, this is like my face and I feel hot, and then it was like, oh, I'm just feeling disappointed, and that feels really heavy and sort of, you know, in my belly. It's like, yeah, so it was, and just that idea of actually they're just emotions and they will pass, and that's been a big game changer. And so, yeah, it's not forever. It's like I can sit and I can be with this and it will be okay.
It strikes me that embarrassment and disappointment are two of, I think, some of the hardest emotions to sit with. They're the ones that we want to go, oh, this is horrible, let's go away from it, you know. Like, really bravo for just sitting with yourself while that's cursing through your body for a minute, 90 seconds. And I think what you're describing is so helpful for those of us. I'm the same as you. I live in my head a bit, and it's a real effort to kind of go, what's happening from the neck down? You know, like, I really have to concentrate on that. And it can be so lovely to recognize that when our bodies are doing, you know, you're feeling that that embarrassment in your body, and you described in your face, and the disappointment of the heaviness in your belly, you mentioned, it's like, oh, my body is taking care of me by processing that for me without me doing a thing. Like, I want to actually run away from this experience, but my body's got me. It's doing this for me. Yeah, it can be like quite a powerful realization of just how kind of taken care of we actually are, how our body's intelligence is always 100% trying to get us to thrive, because it's the kind of most primal aspect of our survival mechanism, is our bodies want to get us always back to homeostasis, where we're calm, we're in our natural sort of sweet spot. I can remember a meditation teacher saying to me that your natural state is peace. And I was like, what are you on, lady? My natural state is chaos at the time, right? It's like, there's no way. I want to fight you on this. and then explaining this to me, like, no, but just anything that is going on for you, what your body is doing is bringing you back to homeostasis, to peace. Because when you are in a relaxed state and your nervous system is calm and your emotions are regulated, that's when your body is its most alive. It's when you are in your most natural state. And I always remember that, just thinking, you must be high, lady. Yeah. But it's true. And as you're describing, it's like, if I can just sit with this for a minute or two. I honestly think, Tanya, this is like being able to feel our feelings, like, kind of willingly, like, okay, this is a thing I'm going to feel. that is the secret sauce to living from your healthy adult self. When there is no feeling that you cannot, that you're not willing to feel, right? If there's no feeling that you can't be with, then you'll take any risk you need to. Because what's the worst that can happen? I'm going to feel some disappointment. I'm going to experience some failure, and that's going to bring up some stuff for me. I'm willing to feel that. So there's, you live from a place of real courage. You have the tricky conversations, you have healthy boundaries, you know, do the things that, you know, not that you're dreaming about, but it's like, oh no, these are not dreams. These are things on my to-do list, you know. And that's because you start from exactly what you're describing. I'm just willing to sit with my feelings and see what happens. I'm going to try not to judge them too much, and going to try and be a bit kind to myself and recognize that they're probably here for a reason, and may even remember to ask them, have you got a message for me? And that is a full life when you are willing to experience the breadth of emotions. It also means you get to access big joy and excitement, right? And anticipation, like the really fun emotions, the ones that we all kind of say we want more of, but do our damnedest to make as small and as like take up as less room as possible. Amazing. Thank you for sharing that, Tanya. That's so, so cool. Yeah. Awesome. Anyone else got anything they just want to share today before we close? All good. Okay. So in the next couple of days, you'll see some emails around these additional sessions that we'll have outside of, we'll carry on doing these weekly calls, and we'll have a couple of additional sessions around the Belief Buster and around body image and self-belief. And we'll also be having a couple of closing circles, right? So we'll do them at different times so that no matter where you are in the world, you'll be able to come along if you wish. And that means that you'll get to participate in that too. I want us to all experience a good ending. So I'll give you an invitation for what you want to say, right? To kind of thank everyone here and, you know, feel like it's your closing circle. So I'll help you prepare for that. And it can be a really lovely way of letting ourselves end this process. Lovette.
Quick question, I think. So I'm knowing that the time is drawing to a close, I was just curious or wondering, I know you're going to be having a big move, and I was like, oh, I wonder what other kind of communities SAS will be having in the near future, and if you're only going to be focusing on people that are coaches, or if you'll have anything like this in the future, or something similar that us all might fit into.
I am wondering that too, is the honest answer. I'm just going to share this because we're family now. I'm actually thinking about a really different training that I've had my eye on for a long time, which is quite left field. And there's a part of me that's like, man, for an evidence-based person, this is wacky. But I can't not pursue that. So it's a hypnosis technique, and it's actually about past life regression. I know it sounds wacky. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe you're like, yeah, that sounds totally legit. I've had some really, really like life shifting experiences with this over the last while. And it's something that I feel really drawn to. So I'm thinking about, in the move to New Zealand, I'm thinking about how I then incorporate some of that. I don't even know if I really want to practice it. I just at the moment, I'm just interested in the training and seeing what community that opens up for me. But I'm also like, I feel so connected to this work and to, you know, training coaches, because I know that coaches need really good evidence-based approaches. So yeah, I'm and I have some care for my mother-in-law coming up. So yeah, I'm just I don't know is the honest answer, but they're the things that have got my heart right now. And I'm just thinking about how might that work and how might it all fit together. And I honestly don't know. But what I do know is that you will be the first to know. Right, when I know, I'll be telling you. So I know that is a kind of non-answer, but hopefully that gives you a sense of the context I'm sitting in. Yeah. Cool. Okay. All right, lovely humans. Well, I will let you go and have breakfast or lunch or maybe sleep, Tanya. and thank you so much for your presence today. It's just such a joy to catch up with everyone. Such awesome stuff. All right, you take care of yourselves and I'll see you soon. Okay, bye everyone.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Bye.